Comedy live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who got duped by the mooch twist. Didn't see that coming. You got me, big brother. You got me. We'll talk about it all here tonight on our Celebrity Big Brother recap eviction number one. And what a panel we have here tonight to talk about everything. Very excited to have with us here for the first time here in a Celebrity Big Brother, great friend of the podcast. You hear him all the time on the reality TV Rehap Ups. Please welcome in our own entertainment reporter. Here is... Yes! With all breaking, the entertainment news.
Rob, you won't believe what Ali Lasher said about Brian Cohen.
Oh! Mike
the
Bloom is here.
Shock you.
Yes.
I'm so excited to be here. You know, I do feel like as podcasters under the RHAP umbrella, we are all part of a team. And I feel like I'm doing my part as a teammate to come in here and help recap what might be the most asinine episode of Big Brother I've seen in nearly two decades of this show.
We got a lot to get through, of course, that we are very excited to have with us here on eviction night. Here is Mr. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing as well as I can, Rob. We're trying to get through it. It's a hard time for us all.
Okay, we got a lot to get through here tonight. Hashtag RHAP. Your questions and comments are all appreciated as we work through eviction number one. But our top story at this hour, again, has to be time to talk about the mooch and everything that's going on there with our panel. And we got the big reveal. We were wondering all week long, where in the world was Anthony Scaramucci? What happened? And turns out, this was all a big twist. Yes, it was a twisty twist, and we expect the unexpected. We fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Mike, what a blindside tonight that it turns out Anthony Scaramucci was not one of the 12 players in the game. He was a fake player pretending to be one of the house guests, and we got they got really, us.
We really got like never been kissed here, where Anthony Scaramucci went undercover as a Big Brother house guest to really give us the scoop. And I mean, this is so interesting because, and I think we're going to be filling out a lot of reactions that have been going on the internet populace, suffice it to say, not the most positive, but I think one of the most interesting things that came from this twist is that essentially this was a double blind experiment where the house guests didn't know, but neither did the audience, which I think led to the increasing amounts of confusion that Taryn has tried his best
and
to sort of like
potentially neither did production or Anthony Scaramucci. Could be a quadruple blind experiment.
Quadruple blind test where just a bunch of blind people sort of, it's basically we're in a Bird Box scenario right now, Rob. There's a bunch of blind people just trying to feel things out and figure out how to make their way through the first 10 days of this game.
Now, Taryn, you famously have criticized the twists on Big Brother, but I feel like even you can't come up with anything that is that you could complain about this twist. I mean, this was a solid twist.
It's very solid. I mean, I can practically, you know, touch it. It's so solid. It's it couldn't be more solid.
What's it feel like? What's the tactile sensation you get from this twist?
It feels like, you know, those dreams, those cliche dreams you have where you're like back in school, mm-hmm. but you don't have any clothes on and you're super embarrassed. I haven't had one of those myself, but I feel like this is probably the closest I'll ever get to it.
Or a dream where you attend a competition and your clothes are way too big and you feel really embarrassed. One of those recurring nightmares.
Yeah,
something like that.
Okay, let's just talk this through. So, of course, Celebrity Big Brother, they got to pull out all the stops. Not one, but two big twists this week where Anthony Scaramucci, you should have seen the look on everybody's faces, Mike, when it was revealed that Anthony Scaramucci was not a mole, that he did not appear to be doing anything moley. He was not pranking anybody, did not leave the toilet seat up or anything like that. He was just there to mess with people, just there to mess with Lochte's nominations.
I mean, do we count, though, him dropping quotations in his previous statements as Thomas Lindsay? Is that like mole-ish activity, or is that just him being the loose mooch that he is and just sort of jazzing the crowd up?
I don't know. Okay, so all right, so that's the real story. That's the that's the true story. But let's write some fan fiction here tonight. Can we come up with any alternative theories, Taryn, of what might have happened here in an alternate reality where this was not a twist that was predetermined and completely planned and not thrown together?
Well, I mean, I know that there are a lot of people who, in fact, I'd say most people that I see are saying this was not planned. The mooch quit and CBS is trying to cover up for it to, I guess, elude embarrassment. My response to that is this is way more embarrassing than mooch quitting could ever have possibly been. So I don't know why they would do that. And then I remember, oh, it's probably the guy that needs to justify his job.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what would that in this hypothetical world where that's not what really happened, that the mooch was a pre-planned twist from the beginning, Taryn, what would you think happened?
I mean, I think the idea behind this theory might be that, hey, the mooch came into the house. He was clearly embarrassed to be there. He clearly didn't want to be there. He was put on the block. He lost the veto. It looked like he might be leaving in the first week. And instead of, you know, having the headlines be, hey, the mooch didn't last a full mooch in the Big Brother house, he negotiated with CBS ahead of time. If it looks like I'm going to leave before 11 days, then I get to come up with an elaborate excuse about how I wasn't actually playing.
So
I love this mooch fail safe.
Yeah.
All right, institute plan M. I'm you know, we're in crisis mode right now. You got to bring in the road competition of things I said the past week.
So I'm half with you. I'm half with you on this theory, Taryn. I think mooch comes into the house, expects it to be much different. Comes into the house. I think around the time of the veto competition, that seems like that's a breaking point of, again, as Eric Stein pointed out, that maybe he looked like another giant baby, maybe in grown up clothes at the end, a la a big Mike Bloom at the end of that competition, and goes in the diary room and is like, all right, that's it. I got a whole thing in Davos. I got to be there. This isn't for me. And production says, give us 48 hours. Give us 48 hours. We'll make it seem like it's all part of the thing. And we get this thrown together veto competition, Taryn. What do you think of that?
I mean, it's certainly a possibility. Personally, I do subscribe to the it was planned theory, but we can talk about that after. But I mean, it could be any one of these things, to be honest. And it would not surprise me if this was the case. Although every time people talk about Davos, I'm just like, why are we talking about Game of Thrones? Like,
it is across the narrow sea.
Yeah.
He did turn in basically like black vapor, right? And just sort of like made his way out of the house. So I'm now sad because he doesn't have his Long Island connection in Melisandina. That unfortunate love connection has been severed.
Okay. Mike, what's your theory?
So, I mean, I'm subscribing to your theory, Rob, just because I would love to see the Olivia Pope-like figure that exists in CBS who's like who gets brought in to fix these situations.
The fixer. You know?
Exactly. When production goes right, here comes Harvey Keitel with the gloves, not those gloves, Cato, and basically says like, all right, let's institute some things. You know, what was Mooch saying the past week? Okay, let's get graphics on it. We'll just plaster the small backyard we have. We don't even need costumes. We'll do DR answers a la the coup d'etat back in Big Brother All-Stars, and we'll do a slapdash OTT-like competition. And so I really do feel like this is the work of possibly the best genius behind the scenes of Big Brother, who shall remain anonymous for right now.
Because if this was a Big Brother twist a la a Saboteur, they bake that into the season. They tell you about that, like, oh, and there's more twists. And it seems like that we're going to get more Big Brother celebrity news a la the Takeover. Like,
I'm really sad you did not include Tamar Braxton scatting thing on the Entertainment Tonight theme song.
Hey, that was good. I like that. I think that this was just a bit of a retcon here, Taryn.
Well, let me tell you what my thought was, which is that basically the whole point of having him on the show in the first place was so that they could make a few headlines, so that when he was announced as being on the show, they could be like, oh, look, Anthony Scaramucci, part of the new Big Brother celebrity cast. Is he going to talk about Trump like Omarosa did? And then when it's revealed that he's gone and we don't have an explanation for it, we get CNN headlines. The mooch doesn't even last a full mooch in the Big Brother house. I think that's exactly what they wanted, and I think it was the entire point of him being there. And the reason they had to lie to us is that they wouldn't have gotten those headlines if we had known that he wasn't actually a part of the season ahead of time. Eric Stein tweeted out as well that this was probably a last minute thing, that they just barely managed to negotiate something with him, like, hey, let's get you on for 6 days and we can make some headlines and then you can leave and it'll all be cool. And so that's personally what I think they did. I think it was an entirely engineered thing just to grab some headlines. It was very lazy. It was very embarrassing. And I honestly think this is a much worse look for them than trying to cover up a quit or what a quit would have been. I think that the whole thing is just like, oh, it's just icky.
Yeah, Taryn, the only thing that makes me feel like that was not the case where CBS and Big Brother wasn't in on it from the beginning was I feel like if you knew you only had the mooch for 6 days, I feel like either the mooch or the show would have handled those 6 days differently of why not, if you're going to reveal that the mooch is a twist, why not give him some absurd tasks to do where he can really, you know, shake things up, where he was a twist that had no effect on anything. He wasn't doing anything wacky. He wasn't trying to undermine anything. He was just there to basically make a bunch of dumb jokes about his time working in Washington.
I mean, I see what you're saying, but I think that if they had done that, they would have revealed the fact that he wasn't actually on the show. And I think they wanted the headlines of Mooch is on the show. Plus, when would they have had time to put that into these episodes? Mm. These episodes have been so packed full of events that they barely have anything. It's barely anything more than just listing out what happened.
Yeah. I really feel like he was not having fun. He knew that this thing in Davos was coming up. I think that maybe he went in the back of his head like, hey, I'm going to pull the ripcord on this thing if it's not working, and knew he could walk out. I can't imagine that they came in knowing that they were only going to have him for a couple days and did not use him in terms of what they ultimately did with him on the show, Mike.
I don't know. I'm kind of subscribing to Taryn's temp theory that essentially the mooch had like this small time contract for a week. Because I understand your point, Rob, about like with America's Player and with the saboteur that unfortunately had a very small tenure in her initial installment there. They definitely played it up. They brought us in on the joke, which again, one of the many weird things about this is that we were not in on the joke. I mean, I think Mooch was trying to bring us in a lot of Trump jokes that weren't necessarily working, but we were not in on the joke of him being this mole-like figure. But it just seems like, I don't know, I feel like the twist of there being two vetoes in 1 week was baked in there no matter what. And I wonder if they were just sort of trying to build backwards from there and figure out, okay, how do we sort of involve this in there? Because I think that there is loose theming there, right, with him saying, hey, in Washington, you don't get a second chance. Which I don't think is necessarily true considering the number of people with the numerous scandals that are currently sitting in political positions. But he was saying, you know, we'll give you guys a second chance. There is some sort of rationale behind it. But I wonder, you know, is it fortuitous circumstances or is it planned circumstances that led this other twist to occur as a result of it?
Because if he knew the whole time that he was leaving after 6 days, don't you feel like he would have handled the nominations differently, Taryn, where something along the lines of like, you know, if I were you, I wouldn't put me up on the block. You're making a big mistake. You have no idea. Like, are we saying that he was so bound by he wouldn't be able to leave if he hinted that he had some power to pull the ripcord?
No, I mean, I think that like he just didn't care. I think that he didn't like the whole point was like, I got to do 6 days here. I'm supposed to pretend that I'm supposed to be here and that I'm actually playing. And then I get to leave and then I get to go to Davos on my planned trip. And, you know, they're going to pay me. I'm going to be able to use this as a talking point in my future speeches about how it really connected me to the general populace. I'm so used to surrounded by so many wonderful elite people, but this really connects me to the good old down to earth people of the country.
These people are anything from down to earth, Taryn. They're up in the stratosphere. This is a hot mess express. So this I don't know how many legs Mooch has to stand on here.
It's literally what he's saying in his interviews in Davos.
Well, now I can't trust anything. I'm starting to wonder, Mike, was it all just a big twist when the Mooch was installed as the White House communications director? Was that all the same idea of like, oh, we got you guys. You thought the Mooch was really, he was a fake communications director.
Well, here's what's going to happen. I mean, we know that there are some connections between the presidency of Donald Trump and Mark Burnett concerning the affiliation of The Apprentice. I think Mark sort of went behind the scenes and was like, all right, I got this plan. It's for another CBS show, but here's what's going to happen. You're going to get this regular guy. You're going to put him into this position. It's going to be this long con to put him in the Big Brother house for a week for a twist that they'll speak about in the halls of reality TV for ages.
Yeah. Also, I would also add that I feel like that this was not something that the production really felt great about, because I do feel like that they sort of did the best that they could. But Julie, got in and out of this as much as possible and did not spend a lot of time there, Taryn.
Well, and that's the thing. And that's why something that I tweeted out tonight was that I was like, you know, people are asking, was this a quit? Was it a cover up? Was it planned from the start? And honestly, my answer is it doesn't matter, because the official story is the worst possible outcome of all of this. It's the most embarrassing thing that could have happened. And if that's what they want us to believe, then I'm fine believing it. I'm like, okay, that I would have preferred that it was a quit. I would have preferred if it was a cover up. The fact that it was planned from the start is the worst thing that could have happened, and that's what you're telling me. I guess I'm gonna believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't know how much more there is to say about this, Anthony Scaramucci. I don't think that that anybody is buying what they put out there as the official story. But I mean, what are we gonna do? The Mooch stunk on the show.
I mean, I don't think it's really breaking news that we don't trust what a White House communications director, past or present, is putting out there into the public. But yeah, I mean, I agree that I think, like, I mean, comparing the great Oni and Mooch is like night and day, basically, right? In terms of they basically share a boss, and that's it in terms of entertainment value. The House gets across the board. What I love about this group in particular is that they have all been so, for the most part, like pretty authentic and real and sincere in the diary room, which is a nice blessing to have after, you know, 12 weeks of this guy thinks he can pick on me. Well, they're in for a heap of trouble now. But the Mooch was like the lone exception to that, even more so than someone like Ryan Lochte. Ryan Lochte is actually his most candid when he's in the diary room. But Mooch surprisingly seems like he was the most prompted. So I do think if we're power ranking things based on entertainment value, I put Mooch at the bottom of the dirty dozen. So I guess from that perspective, you know, while there might be some bemoaning the fact that we got rid of Jonathan, we did at least get rid of somebody who was not bringing that much to the show from a personality perspective.
Okay. So well, yes, we had an eviction tonight as well, as in a jam packed episode. And we haven't spoken much about Jonathan, who got voted out. Mike, he fetched 7 votes tonight.
None for you, Joey Lawrence. You go, Joey Lawrence.
Yes. Jonathan, Taryn, that this was a really worst case scenario here for Jonathan in this first week.
Yeah, I mean, I think Nikki on Twitter, who's wonderful, pointed out that if all three of these twists don't happen, HOH person going on the block, the Mooch quitting, and a second veto, then Jonathan is fine. He's not going to leave. But all three of them did happen, which is not to say that he did not screw it up himself as well, because he certainly did. Mm-hmm. But you know, he could have asked for a much better position to be in to start out with.
Yeah. I thought that Julie was very punchy with him tonight, Mike, that I was eager to see how Julie was going to be doing these interviews. Here was Julie when Jonathan was spinning. What happened with him? And she was having none of it.
Rob, it's pronounced what happened.
What was that?
You have to start getting people to keep you there immediately without ever knowing anyone.
But you had three chances to save yourself.
Correct.
Unprecedented three chances.
Also not athletic.
You are a liar, because I will tell you why. Someone told me you work out at their gym.
A blind item?
Yes. Anonymous tip called into CBS. Someone's been stalking Jonathan Bennett at the gym pre-CBB. A hit celebrity twist.
Yeah.
Who he claims he is.
She says three chances. I'm assuming that means she's counting the duel he had to do with Ryan Lochte, in which if he loses, he's immediately put on the block, which he had to do because he won an HOH competition.
That's one chance.
Save yourself.
Yeah, that was.
In no world is that a chance.
Retiring, he really had four chances that he could have not gotten picked for the HOH. That was another chance that he blew.
He had five chances. He shouldn't have walked through the door. That was another chance that he chose to take.
Yeah.
So really, he could have by walking through the door.
He could have been the mooch and not been a real player.
Could have been Yep. So
it could have been the former White House communications director, right? So we actually had six chances, at least six. He could have been born a significant time earlier, so he doesn't come off as this big young guy with a bunch of bombastic energy. Really, his life has been building up with a bunch of missed opportunities that led to his Big Brother evictions. Mm-hmm. Truly a Greek tragedy.
But I thought this was really interesting that Julie said, no, this, you want to know what you did? You want to know what you did wrong? I'll tell you exactly how you blew it.
No, let me tell you something.
What happened?
You stuck your neck out for her. You didn't clue in the women in your alliance. That planted seeds of doubts in their head against you. They were blindsided.
Right.
And that was the beginning of the end for
communication.
You.
Communication. So according to Julie, that if you are aligned with a woman, you need to tell her what's going on, because the worst thing you could do to a woman that you are aligned with is have her get a major blindside. She would not like that. That would not be good.
I mean, is this sort of like, remember when Jeff Probst unfortunately lost his talk show and sort of like brought that footage or that material onto the show Survivor proper?
Yes.
Julie Chen Moonves is missing the talk. And I think she would like to just sort of instill advice out there. She's like, look, I'm going to give you a life lesson, because I totally agree. Julie Bot, as the mole puts it, has been totally on the fritz tonight. Between the aforementioned what happened, between her saying Kato win veto in the most straightforward reading I have heard from her in quite some time, her software has either upgraded or downgraded in the four since Big Brother 20.
Been a lot of updates. Yeah. She does not like that. No blind sides for the ladies you're working with. Gotta have that communication. It's very important. Very important. Okay. Taryn, did the votes come down the way that you were expecting today?
Yes. I mean, Tamar, we weren't entirely sure which way her vote was going to go. She did say toward the end of the day that she was going to be voting Jonathan out, even though she really wanted to vote Candy out. So not very surprising at all.
Yeah. We got some interesting speeches from the nominees as well on the block, including a speech from Joey Lawrence, who the show really yada yada through Joey Lawrence's nomination. But he closed with this, Mike, and I want to get your take on this. So he said,
at this particular moment, so thank you all for the moments and the memories, some friendships that have blossomed out of this thing. I am extremely grateful. Thanks so much, everybody.
Awesome. You got that reference.
Okay. Mike, did Joey do an intentional blossom there? Because everything about Joey Lawrence has pointed to the fact that he does not do references. He is not self-referential. He will not say whoa. Did he slip and say blossom by accident?
I think this is reference foreplay. I think this is him saying, like, you don't want me to say the word, but I'm gonna you from here on out.
Whoa!
Yeah, and until he waits until that one climactic moment when, you know, you get your woe face. I think that that's what Joey is. I think he is systematically doing his own leaks. He's playing his own little mind games because it's clear he's not playing the Big Brother game. So he's got to be doing something in there.
Taryn, yeah, you've studied Joey Lawrence for a week now.
I'm with you, Rob. I think this was not intentional. When you look at his face after Jonathan says, "Oh, Blossom," he's like,
"Of course, you, of course, yeah."
No, he says something like, "No, it wasn't intentional," but then he decides not to.
I think, Rob, between your impression and his mannerisms, I think Joey Lawrence is the Mike Ehrmantraut of the Celebrity Big Brother. He's just going to sit there on eviction night, like, just leave me and die.
Walter, I'm not going to say anything you want me to say. I'm not going to say my catchphrase.
Somebody get me some gum to jam up the card reader.
I'm Batman.
Okay. All right. Taryn, we got the short version of everything that we've been following over the course of the week. What did you think was the biggest omission from tonight's episode?
The game.
I think you can describe the biggest omissions in two words: Tamar Braxton. I think that she has been gotten involved, and you could also say the Ricky and Tom stuff as well, but Tamar has been part of so many kerfuffles, nonsensical kerfuffles that have come up in the past few days, even to the point of this afternoon, which for those of you that like have not watched the feeds in this past day, I'm so excited for Taryn, you and Liana to talk about this fight tomorrow morning, because it was insane to watch Tamar Braxton bring the phrase, "What you talking about, Willis," into a 21st century context.
What's up, Willis?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I'm so sad it wasn't a part of it, just because, again, Tamar wasn't necessarily involved in the inner machinations. I feel like if this had been a 2-hour episode, maybe we would have gotten more of it. But man, she's star of week one, in my opinion. And might be
should a quiet night.
Surprisingly so. Mm-hmm. Outside of doing her best Ella Fitzgerald over the ET theme song. I love Tamar to death. I think she's absolutely making this season. I need her to make finale night at least. And so I'm very disappointed that we did not see at least a bit of Tamar aside from her giant sunglasses that she chooses to wear at every point.
Yeah, well, I mean, we didn't have a ton of filler other than the mooch.
Yeah, those also aren't her biggest sunglasses. She has an entire visor that she wears.
Yeah, she wears a combination of like the Geordie LaForge visor and like a welder's helmet.
Like a Daft Punk.
Yeah, that's what she was wearing when she got into this big confrontation with Ricky Williams, and where she was like screaming.
Ricky Williams used to wear a visor on his football helmet. They should relate to that. Ricky Williams had like the tinted windows.
Yeah, there's been so much. There's been so much that they missed. Tamar, she got into a fight with Candy a few days ago. That was fantastic. She then went off on Ricky about Candy. She talked about being a bitch expert. She was super excited about that. Then she, she got into an argument with Ricky today that we saw. She's been campaigning against Candy. She's been paranoid about Tom and Kato. And when she was arguing with Ricky, they were talking about, Ricky was saying that she had trust issues. And she was like, "We all have trust issues." And Ricky's like, "No, you have trust issues." And she was like, "No." And it was crazy. That all happened. There's the rise and fall of Ricky. As he goes and he's playing the game, he's getting the women to turn on the men, but then he goes crazy and starts antagonizing Tom Green because he hates him all of a sudden, and now Tom is getting annoyed, and Tom tries to flip the whole house, and then people start turning on Tom, and it's all craziness. So it's wonderful. It's the good stuff that's been happening on the show, but it's not on the show.
Yeah, well, we have 5 hours a week, but it's tough to get to everything.
Well, I guess my question is, Tom Green is the first Canadian to participate on the show. Taryn, did he bring the Big Brother Canada edit style with him? And that's the reason why we got this episode tonight.
There it is. Yeah, I think you nailed it. To get a little bit of a taste of the Ricky versus Tom, I think I want to reenact this a little bit. I'm going to play Ricky, and Mike, you can play Tom. And I know, Mike, that you've done some improv comedy. So I'd like you to just do some right now for us.
I mean, you know, it's just like, you don't usually just do this out of the blue. I mean, you need like an audience.
An audience? Come on.
I mean, it's just like, it's a little different from like, you know, a crowd at like the UCB theater versus like two.
What are you scared? Are you scared, Mike? What's happening? What are you?
No.
You shouldn't even be a comedian if you're scared to perform. Like, what?
All right.
You perform?
I'll get into something here. I'll do this scene that takes place in Syria. No, you know what? I'm sort of forgetting.
Syria.
It's too political.
Wait, you just don't even be a comedian then. You know, deep down, you're just a prick.
I mean, when I went into the show, I wanted to avoid subjects. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to. Yeah, I don't understand why you're antagonizing me like this. Where's Cato? Where's my butt boy? I got.
Yeah, that's basically what's been happening between Ricky and Tom for no apparent reason.
Yeah. Well, I would think that we have a show on Sunday night. We have a show on Monday night, which I think we are expecting another eviction coming up soon. You got to think that we will flash back to some of this stuff. I mean, Big Brother makes no bones about like, here's something that happened, you know, 5 days ago. Let's play it during this week.
They might even like edit Jonathan Bennett out of these scenes. You know, they've done it before.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They could make the next episode. There's going to be an endurance competition for the HOH. They could make the entire next episode just be endurance competition interlaced with flashbacks, and then the end of the episode is the winner of the endurance competition.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you could do
a
bunch of stuff. We only saw a glimmer of Ricky Williams tonight, Taryn. That we saw that
a blunt amount, a small amount.
It's a blunt, a small amount. I found it to be a large amount.
I mean, it really depends on where you are in the circle.
I guess so. Yeah, we saw Ricky Williams talking with the guys. They were all on the same page about wanting to get Jonathan out of the house.
Yes, which, you know, this is really Ricky's doing more than anyone.
Yeah.
He's really gotten into the heads of Lolo and Natalie, which has, you know, put some people off, Tom in particular, but mostly just because Ricky's been weird with Tom. If Ricky wasn't being so weird with Tom, I'd say he's playing the best game in the house. But for whatever reason, he's being really weird with Tom. And like, they're starting to call it out that like, he tries to just force these really deep conversations on people.
Ricky Williams.
Yeah, he needs to like get into your head and like get to the real reason behind things, but like against your will. And if you don't respond, he's mad at you and it's your fault. And it's very off-putting.
Yeah. Well, I think that sort of makes sense where, you know, Tom is, you know, a funny guy, likes to keep things light and surface. And then Ricky Williams wants to, you know, go full on and have a lobotomy with you. And there's just those two styles don't mesh.
I mean, there's a difference between really getting introspective with somebody and just heckling somebody like Ricky Williams is doing and needling somebody. I don't know. I think I'd come from a certain perspective on this because, you know, as someone who's worked in the creative arts, it annoys me to know. And I actually did have a situation very similar to this like 10 years ago, mm-hmm. where I had a friend of a friend be like, oh, you do comedy. Can you tell me a joke? And I mean, Taryn, you made a very apt comparison on the Morning Update when you compared it to like someone asking a singer to randomly sing a snatch of bars. Like, performers should not always have to be on, okay, for your enjoyment. There's a reason why you sort of have your time and place to do your thing. I know there aren't any apt comparisons. I know Tom tried to draw the loose comparison. I'm like, well, why don't you go play football? Why don't you go toss the old rock around? But Ricky could very easily do that. It's just, it's a pet peeve of mine. So that annoyed me to know. I totally agree, Taryn. It's astounding to watch Ricky's just penchant for getting people to voice their own opinions and how that also brought the target out on himself. It's just insane how what only a few days can do in the Big Brother house with this group of loonies, and it truly is amazing.
It would be like if I was on this podcast, like, all right, Rob, I know that you think that this was all just a cover up for the mooch, but why do you really think that, Rob? Like, what is the real reason behind this?
Probably because that there's not another logical explanation for what ultimately happened.
You know, I understand that, Rob, but let's go deeper.
Okay.
Let's. What's Why do you think there's no logical explanation? And it just continues.
Yeah, and it'll eventually say, like, you know what? I think you're BSing me.
Oh, yes.
And I don't take BS. And that's what really sets Tamar off, is when, you know, he basically just says, like, if you don't give me the answer I want, I'm going to accuse you of purposely, you know, bury me under a pile of poop.
Yeah, he's like, Tamar, you've experienced betrayal in your life, haven't you? You have some major trust issues. She's like, what are you talking about, you lunatic?
Yeah. All right. More on Ricky Williams to come. Tonight we saw Lochte and Lolo also discuss some of their beef that as former Team USA members, that Lochte tried to smooth things over with Lolo tonight after she was under the impression that he was going to try to backdoor her. So Lochte had to think fast, think on his feet. So when Lolo asked if he was going to backdoor her, he had to come up with something.
Backdoor?
Yeah.
How? You have not been backdoored.
Yeah. What? You have not been backdoored. What? What are you talking about?
I loved it in the diary room, his like comical, cartoony sound effect of him looking around like, oh no, got caught.
What do I do? No. Oh.
I feel like he's essentially doing like the inner monologue of a dog. Like, it all. Oh no, juicy bone. That's a bone. I like bone.
Yeah. Boy, Lochte having to think fast. And Taryn, I think that what is the most fun about this situation is that Lochte is now divorced from the brains of the operation. This was Lochte on a week where Jonathan was whispering in his ear, here's what we're doing next. Here's what we're doing next. Now Lochte is flying solo.
Yeah, what even is a backdoor? I don't even, probably are mistaken about that thing. A backdoor, isn't it a front door?
Yeah, it's like, I didn't backdoor you.
Was he the person in the beginning of the episode? Was he the person in the beginning of the episode who's like, do we vote at some point?
Yeah.
I think that was the mooch.
I bet Lochte is really confused about what happened with the mooch.
Yeah.
Really. I think that's what his, I know he had a big blindside face, but I feel like that might have been just a late reaction to the mooch reveal instead of getting evicted.
Yeah.
Wait, 7 votes? I thought there were going to be 8.
A lot. It was a lot. Okay. All right. Taryn, what's the outlook on the house now that Jonathan is gone, but there was a big block that voted together? Where do we go from here?
It really depends on whoever wins HOH. Basically, Tom and Cato are tentatively working with Natalie and Lolo. Tom and Cato a little more loyal to Natalie and Lolo than Natalie and Lolo are to them. Ricky is more tightly working with those two women. Ricky and Tom still have some tension. Tamar, weirdly, is paranoid about Tom and Cato, so she could potentially go after them. The women would love to backdoor Ryan. Ricky would love to backdoor Ryan. Tamar would love to get Candy out. Dina is just like, wait, Jonathan's gone? I'm pretty sure that covers all of them.
Oh, I have one other conspiracy theory tonight. This one is that goes back to why Jonathan had to save Dina. Had to save Diana. Okay. So Dina Lohan's name had been leaked as one of the people that was rumored. She was one of the few people on those lists that actually was, in fact, somebody who was out there. And so I wonder, did Jonathan Bennett contact Lindsay Lohan or Diana Lohan? And then did Lindsay Lohan say something to the effect of, if you get my mom voted out, you're not in Mean Girls 2. Is that possible?
I'm going to get Ozzy to beat you up.
Yeah. You're not in Mean Girls 2, Mike. Is that a threat? He's like, Lindsay will kill me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's some real blackmail or pink mail, as it were, on a Wednesday.
It's the one thing she had over him.
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
They did not seem that close.
And I guess, you know, he might have sacrificed his game to protect Diner Logan. And unfortunately, you know, was it worth it to bring back Aaron Samuels? Will he become like, you know, like Jesse in Pitch Perfect 2 and be relegated to a background cameo despite being a supporting character? Or like Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, Rob's favorite film in terms of shuffling around the characters. Sequels are always weird. But I would love, I mean, I think, you know, if we find Jonathan Bennett washed up on Mykonos sometime soon, we'll know that the deal went south.
Okay. Taryn, you buying this?
Jonathan 100% contacted Dina preseason. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pre-game alliances. They do you no good, Taryn.
Well, they can.
They can, but more often than not, I'd say, correctly. You know, I'd say, you know, 4 out of 5 times they end up screwing you.
Well, it's interesting, though, that the pregame animosity has now superseded the pregame alliance.
Well, yeah, pregame feud is worse than pregame alliance.
I don't know. Pregame feud got Danny and Dick Donato to the final two. So,
well, that's the one time it worked.
There's precedence. There's that 20%, Rob.
Twists were working in the opposite direction on that one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We have a live competition going on that we will bring you an update in a little bit. Is that competition over, Taryn?
No, it hasn't even started.
Oh, okay.
The feeds recently went to old episode clips, so I assume they are getting in position as we speak.
Okay, moving into position. Okay, all right. So that we should have a long night ahead of us in terms of what's going to happen. Let's bring in some questions from you guys tonight. Here is our first question: if Mooch could only give them 6 days. And there were 2 house guests that were pulled in at the last minute. Is it safe to say that they really had no one to put on the show? Well, I think there's also a couple of other interesting things that speak to that. I feel like that the Mooch wanted to leave. I don't think that that the show was complicit in terms of like, hey, just come for 6 days. We'll mess around for a little bit. Then you can leave. I think he said he wanted to leave and they were like, give us some time. Let's at least try to make this look like this is part of the plan. But Taryn, that we did have the gender imbalance to start the show, which I think is a point in the favor of that maybe this was the plan the whole time, where there's 7 men and 5 women. And also last season's cast was 11 people. This was 12.
Yeah, and in terms of the jury, they've never had an even numbered jury. Like I said, I do subscribe to the theory that it was planned ahead of time. Did they have trouble finding people to be on the show? I don't think so. I mean, you know, whether or not the rumors are true that they had last second change arounds, you know, I don't think that really matters. There's plenty of celebrities that haven't been on television in 10 years. So, you know. They've got plenty to choose from.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. This one is from Muriel. Was this production's fail-safe plan for celebrity quitters all along? Yeah. So the next time we hear this sound, will we know? What? Oh, breaking news. Football player Ricky Williams has an update for everybody.
What will his background be? Instead of the American flag, will it be like, I don't know, game footage? Like the Sunday, the Super Bowl behind him?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, could you imagine if they instituted this last season and Meta World Peace was revealed as the mole? I feel like that would actually make a lot of sense in terms of his behavior.
Well, first you would have to start with Keisha of... Keisha Knight Pulliam, that it turns out, everybody, guess what? You thought she was playing, but this Cosby kid was part of one of the biggest twists that we've ever had.
Her breast milk has been depleting, and she's here to tell you all about it.
Guys, I totally got you. You thought I was here, but I'm not. I couldn't leave my kid. You guys are crazy. Yeah. Okay. We'll see. We'll see. We got that on the back burner. Watch out. All right. Let's take another question. This one is from one of our listeners. Absolute disaster. Julie said Ryan could only vote in the event of a tie, but there are 7 votes, which leads me to believe that she was auto reading cue cards as if the Mooch was still in the house. Thoughts? If you think they're writing the cue cards for the teleprompter for the eviction 5 days before, come on.
There could have been a tie because there were 3 nominees. That's why they're
talking about a conspiracy theory that they're writing the prompter days ahead.
But that's an interesting point, though, because I mean, like, we had talked about, we obviously know what happens now in the Survivor Final Tribal Council if there's a tie between two people. But if the vote was tied 3-3-1, does Ryan get the tie-breaking vote, or does the person who voted for Joey get to vote?
Is it a Laurel situation?
Ryan gets the tie-breaking vote, and that's what Julie was saying.
Yeah, they don't let the one person get to go vote?
No, of course not. They already cast. They were already the deciding vote, and they chose to go somewhere else anyway.
Okay. No, the person that got one vote, like a Laurel.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Joey Lawrence, you get to choose who stays.
Joey Laurel. Whoa. Okay. All right. Let's go. Let's go to the next question. This one is from Jared. What's a sworn heart? Lolo is making up words. Did Lolo talk about that she gave her sworn heart to somebody? Who knows? Okay. Jared, hanging on Lolo's every word. Okay. Let's go from the wizard, Kelly, y'all. Please call out Julie for trying to deflect Jonathan away from blaming the twist. I know it didn't matter at this point, but I just want to hear y'all say it. Please, R-H-A-P. So we're talking about where he was like, yeah, I got screwed by the twist. She's like, no. You had an unprecedented number of chances. You blew it. You blew it, Jonathan.
They love making the twists that screw people and talking about like, hey, you never know. But then when a player actually says, well, I feel like the twist is what caused my demise, they're like, whoa. No. This is all on you. We did nothing.
No, Big Brother will always, there's always a way out. There was always a way out. We don't want to hear it. Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, expect the unexpected is essentially like a verbal contract that players enter into with Big Brother, right? To say like, hey, you know what? You signed up for this, so no matter what happens to you, we are not responsible. It's all your own doing.
Yeah. Now, Jonathan did get screwed by a twist, but also played very poorly this week. Yes. It can be both things. It can be, but you're both right. You're both right.
Yeah. Well, and they're usually intertwined because getting screwed by a twist will often influence your gameplay in the negative because you're put in an adverse situation that will make it a lot harder to play out of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about this question from Jessica says, what food would you like to see Tamar eat next? So far, we've seen grapes and bacon. Yeah, that Tamar eats a lot in the diary room, Mike.
I mean, look, they're very loose with the diary room rules. Tom Green brought a beer in there a couple of days ago. Like, I think they've sort of relaxed the fruit and drink restriction. Maybe it's because they were able to clean out all the ants from BB20. But
yeah, they still let Winston bring coffee in there all the time.
Yeah, so I'm here for just tracking Tamar's going for, I don't know, maybe she's trying to get into the competitive eating once she gets out of the Amazing Race.
Like Joey Chestnut?
Yeah, she'll become Joey Chestnut's partner on the next season of The Amazing Race.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Let's take a couple more questions here. This is one from Alyssa. Seemed like people were asking who voted for whom right before the episode ended. Should Dina blame her vote on Tamar? Could create major fireworks again between Tamar and Candy. Taryn, will we see a Diana Lohan Hinky vote?
No, Dina is not only not capable of that, but everyone already knew that she would be voting the way that she voted. So not really in the cards.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. This one is from the great Bill Methling. Who will swing in and manipulate Ryan now? Ooh, yes, Mike. Lochte is a free agent.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, I could see Lolo trying to pick up.
Oh, Team again. USA, back together.
Yeah, I think she could say, you know, we were down for a little bit. I had a sworn heart, but I'm ready to stitch that heart back up. Now that we both know what a backdoor is, I think that we can make the promise not to do it to each other. Because I think that part of Lolo's consternation and the flicking off, as Ryan put it, was because she had been feeling jealous over the other guy, over Jonathan's relationship with him. And now that he's out of the picture, she can swoop in again and take control of him. So I think that, you know, I know that the girl's plan is to backdoor Ryan, but much like Jonathan stuck his neck out to defend Dino, I wonder if baby Dino the dog, I wonder if Lolo might possibly stick her neck out to defend Ryan, considering that there's a good chance she might be able to get him back in her pocket.
Yeah. Here's a question from Anthony. He says, is Big Brother a team sport? Have they brought back the team twist? What was Jonathan talking about? Yeah, Taryn, that was a weird speech.
That's basically been his campaigning strategy throughout the week, is instead of like talking to people about what's actually happening, he's just like, hey, you know what my favorite three words are? Like teamwork, loyalty, and not betraying your alliance members. That's really what I'm thinking about a lot these days. And that's what that speech was about. Like, I'm all about the team, and the team should be sticking up for me. And if that's really important to me is teamwork and team stuff and alliances, and don't vote me out, alliance members, please, or I will be a bitter juror, is mm-hmm. what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, see, that's basically the opposite of Ricky Williams.
Yes, who played on a team, ironically.
Well, no, that brings up a good question, though, Taryn, because I guess now that last season had confirmed that everyone who got voted out is going to the jury, Julie confirmed this tonight. I mean, can we prognosticate how Jonathan might vote in a couple weeks' time, or just like how he might behave as a juror?
I mean, I think that he is the kind of person when he got voted out, he's like, it's okay. It's okay, guys. Like, I think he will try to remain as objective as possible. But this is Big Brother Celebrity, and I think that niceness wins Big Brother Celebrity. I think that even if Ryan or even if Jonathan is trying to vote, you know, not bitter, I think that there will be reasons to vote for the person that was nicer, who didn't betray as much. And I think that's just a symptom of watching the entire show back and everyone being a celebrity with a massive ego. So honestly, when I'm looking at the candidates here, I'm almost just eliminating people who are trash talking too much in the diary room. I think the people like Dina, Joey, you know, the people who aren't really saying bad things about other people and trying to remain positive, those are the people you need to look out for in terms of endgame threats.
Yeah. Very important. Keep on feeding the positive in the Big Brother house, all the celebrities. Make sure
you get $500,000 in your bank account.
Very important.
I mean, it's interesting, though, because I also wonder, though, in terms of feeding the ego. I mean, we do get in this episode, you have Tom and Lolo and Kato saying, like, well, Jonathan's a really big threat. He's good. He's so, you know, he's so keen for this game. We need to get rid of him. I wonder if that might endear them to him in a manner of speaking of like, well, you didn't get rid of me because I was annoying. You got rid of me because I was a threat. And I feel like reality TV people do get a certain, like, sense of ecstasy from the fact that, like, oh, they got rid of me because they thought I could win. Oh, that's delightful. I'm such a good player.
How'd that go with Shannon last season?
That's true. That's true. We'll see.
Well, I mean, basically what happened with Shannon is that they called her such a big threat. And then behind her back, when the feeds were still on, they were trash talking her at every given opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's happened a little bit with Natalie and Lolo. They've been kind of mean toward Jonathan, but also a little bit respectful and a little bit feeling bad. Somebody like Tom did really well here, where he's like, I like Jonathan. He's such a great guy, even though I'm going to be voting him out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that kind of stuff is going to work well. Kato's going to be fine in the jury for the jury. So
he's good with the slogans, that Kato, so I can only imagine. Yeah.
Taryn, I think you're right, because I think that it has to tie back into the narrative of the Mean Girls movie, where it's like, you guys weren't nice. You didn't let me sit at your table. So you guys talk the most trash. You guys are the plastic. So I'm going to vote for the people that were nice.
I mean, if this was the Mean Girls narrative, though, the final two would break up the check and pass it around to everybody at the end. They're all Big Brother winners at the end of the day.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. Let's skip that next question, Scott, and let's go to Mr. Robot Taryn. Which celebrity house guest is the most boring? Oh, you're not going to get me with that one, Mr. Robot Taryn. Nice try. Elizabeth Cano. Any significance to the lack of exit interviews? No chance a battle back is going to be out there. Mike, can you speak to that? Are there going to be any exit interviews for Big Brother?
Yeah, Elizabeth Cano, consider me a dog-based mooch headline, because that is fake news. I will be doing exit press for Big Brother Celebrity Edition this season. I'll be doing exit press usually the day after the live show. So, for instance, I'll be talking with Jonathan Bennett tomorrow about all of this and hopefully get that out the day after as well. And also, to, I'm sure, add even more punctuation marks to the giant question mark that the Mooch's departure left here in this episode, I will be speaking to him briefly on Monday as well. So be sure to check out parade.com for all of your celebrity Big Brother needs, including a much sought after interview with Anthony Scaramucci.
Okay. Yes. And follow at a Mike Bloom type on Twitter to make sure you don't miss any of those. And I'm sure we have lots of questions for the Mooch.
We need to figure out some questions that we can ask that will like make sure we get the truth.
Mm, okay. Yeah. All right. I like this. I like this idea. Let's
go to outsmart the director of communications.
I'm going to bring Ricky in to really just like drill for my interview time.
It's the toughest interviewer around, Ricky Williams. Okay. Did Jonathan pay the price to Ross's reaching the final two? This is something we talked about with Ian and Steve, that ultimately Cameron paid that invoice, Taryn. That did Jonathan pay the price for Ross reaching the end, or was this a symptom of, hey, oh, we got to watch out for Shannon? This is the person who fits that archetype.
I think that Jonathan learned the wrong lesson from Shannon in that he tried to underplay, which was bad. He needed to play more. He didn't play enough. And I think that he paid for the Mooch not being a real player. And I think he paid for the guy that needs to justify his job by making all these twists.
Okay. What happens if this is a week where the Mooch is a real player? Hypothetically speaking, if the Mooch was a real player who played this week out, Taryn?
Well, there wouldn't have been a second veto.
Right. So. Okay. So, okay.
So say goodbye to Tom Green, basically, right?
Yeah.
You mean Tom Green sure goes Tom home? Green,
I'm pretty sure he was gone. Granted, it's hard to say because we did not have feeds and we got almost nothing from the show about what happened before the Candy nomination. I still don't even know why Candy was nominated. They haven't explained it on the feeds.
I don't think Candy knows either. When Ryan was just like, we don't really talk that much. No relationship.
Yeah. Well, the explanation that Lochte gave on the show was that we need to make the women think we're still with them. So that was the Joey Lawrence one. Did he have an explanation for the Candy one? I don't remember.
No.
Oh, he just said that we didn't vibe. We weren't vibing.
That's what he said to the rest of the house. But like they were supposed to be in an alliance.
Yes. Unlike Candy's business enterprise, he was not vibing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess. I mean, that's like a classic like first HOH thing.
Yeah, classic in the sense that it happened to Cody too, and he had to nominate 5-2.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I guess it's a good question. I mean, I guess if we compare the great Jillian, Queen of Tijuana, and Jonathan here, who do we think was more?
I think you meant Jillian Larson. Bummer, no, not me.
A bummer that she was not mentioned, though. I don't know. I'm sure Joey Lawrence is perturbed by all the elephant bathroom business going on.
Yes.
I guess it's a great comparison between BB19 and Celebrity Big Brother 2, but I think we made points about how Jonathan could have worked himself out of a bunch of situations. Do you feel like Jillian had the same chance? Is it really comparable in that perspective?
I mean, I feel like Jillian was less screwed in that she was more likely to leave without those things happening.
The twist did help a guy with a beard. Both times.
She's not even really the kind of player that you look at in terms of like judging how she did strategically, because she wasn't really doing a whole lot.
That was very gumpy. Okay. All right.
Was that Julie Chen reading it?
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. Here we are. Taryn, by the way, Big Brother Celebrity Season 2. What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Are you enjoying it so far?
I like the cast. I think that it has potential moving forward now that we're through this nonsense of the first week. I think that so far the episodes have not been super thrilling to me. I'm looking forward to moving forward from what we've just experienced.
Yeah. In complete fairness, you and Puya detailed everything that they had to get through in this episode tonight. Like this was a tall order to get to everything and get caught up to the present.
Yes. Which is
in 42 minutes.
Poor planning. Like, well, I don't know. It was bad. The feeds have been pretty good. I've enjoyed what I've been seeing on the feeds. If that had been in the episode, I would have enjoyed the episode a lot. And I would be like very high on the season, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think portends well for the rest of the season. Yes. Where, granted, we might have David Frances or whatever his name is come in to throw some late breaking twists our way. But yeah, I totally double down on the cast. I mean, this is just, God, everyone is making horrible decisions. But in one person's case, like 20 wrongs is going to make a right. And I am someone who bathes in the chaos of it all.
Yeah.
So I am supremely enjoying this season and just all the greatness that this cast provides. It's been so much fun to watch even a week in. And for those of you out there who are saying like, oh, okay, now we're going to get this alliance of Ricky and NEM and Lolo and Tamar steamrolling. God, no, that thing is held together with popsicle sticks and Elmer's glue. Yeah. It's going to fall apart at the first, like, second glance it gets.
Mike, this is the Brant Steele Big Brother.
Finally, we're getting it. Yes, we got Survivor South Africa as the Survivor Brant Steele and has moved over to Big Brother. I am absolutely here for it.
Celebrity Big Brother should be a train wreck.
Yeah, I tweeted out earlier today. I don't think I've ever seen a cast where almost every single player is making the wrong decision for their game,
but the right decision for us.
Right. And it's like every single one of them is making the wrong decision. And it's crazy. Even the ones that are ending up making, like, doing the right thing are doing it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
There's not a single player in this house that I'm like, ah, they've got it figured out. They made the right decision. No, they're all making wrong decisions.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's great. Okay. We are going to be back here. It's all the same to you guys. You guys watch in the same place, but we will have another live show on Sunday night after the episode airing on Sunday night. And then we'll be back again also Monday night. So Sunday, we take one night off for Saturday, Sunday night and Monday night. We've got some really great guests coming up this next week. Kirsten McInnes will be here with us on Sunday night, but Taryn takes 0 days off. He will be back with you tomorrow morning to talk about another busy day on the feeds. Okay. I forgot we have a card for that. Yes. Join Taryn tomorrow morning. Taryn, any difference in the time on the weekends?
No, 11 a.m. all the way through.
All the way through, of course. And then Sunday morning as well, join Taryn for the live feed update. All those are streamed. You can, of course, watch it live on our YouTube channel, Periscope, Facebook, Twitch. Go to rhap.live to go there anytime. If you don't have the link, they'll also be up on robswebsite.com. Of course, podcasts to be posted shortly thereafter. Then Sunday night, I will be back 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be joined by special guest Kirsten McInnes on a very another fun week of the Celebrity Big Brother. Of course, big thanks to our patrons of Rob's Podcast who make all of this podcasting possible. 5 years and counting for the patrons of Rob's Podcast. Thank you guys so much for all of your support of these crazy shows. And of course, to find out more about the benefits of becoming part of the Rob's Podcast patron community, go to robswebsite.com/patron. For more information. Okay. Mike, so nice to catch up with you here during Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, this is so much fun. Again, I think that hopefully we can move on from, I think what we can all admit was a pretty stupid twist, and just sort of move on into the gloriousness that is going to be the rest of Celebrity Big Brother. This is going to be so much fun. I'm so excited to cover it via exit interviews. Again, this cast seems loco. And I'm just excited to get into their heads as much as I can to figure out what's going on either logically or illogically in there. So I'm ready to just sort of like keep, you know, deepening myself into this lovely, lovely quagmire that is Celebrity Big Brother.
Giggity.
is that like the Family Guy? Whoa.
Quagmire's like, I'm not saying it. I'm not. Maybe if I win, I'll say it. But that, I'm not gonna.
I want to thank you all so much for getting me this gig.
Yeah, I was on the Cleveland show. I was on other stuff. Was he on the Cleveland show, Mike?
I'm sure he was. I'm not an animation domination expert.
I thought you were.
There's a lot of crossover in the McFarlane extended universe. We'll do that in the McFarlane Brant Steele Big Brother season that's coming up soon.
Okay. Now, as long as it's not the Billy McFarlane extended universe at the next Fire Festival.
Oh, God. That's a Survivor simulation, not a Big Brother simulation, let's be honest.
All right. Taryn, what else is going on tonight? Live HOH competition?
Yes, the HOH competition should be starting soon. So I will be going live on Twitch to watch that. If you guys are interested in watching along, you can find me on Twitch, Taryn Armstrong. on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And yeah, the update, we've got the Stockwatch. If you are a patron, I think they just started up the patron Stockwatch game. So you can go and check that out.
I've got my bids in, Taryn.
There you go.
Taryn, I don't want to do some insider trading here.
What are you, Michael Lohan?
Exactly. But do you think there's a chance that any of you will give a 9 or a 10 to any celebrity in these 3 weeks?
Not likely.
So low ceiling.
Not to get too much into the Stockwatch, but is it based on that the like is it a celebrity 9, or it's like, well, if they were in a real season, they would be toast. So I can only give them a 6.
And I think you need to, you always, my philosophy is you need to leave room for improvement. So if there ever is a celebrity that's worthy of a 9 or a 10, then I need to leave those ratings for that celebrity in the future that's not on this season.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. So great stuff, everybody. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We'll be back live with you on Sunday night after the next episode. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.